I'm Andre Coker, and welcome to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 56 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at GPM Group, the specialist fire door manufacturers. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Cookie's over there somewhere.
In the background.
What have we got coming up on this week's show?
We're going to update everybody on the suspension that has been issued to Chris Bush. We're going to catch up with the reaction from the Dorking match last week and hear from Neil Smith. We got a new signing who you may have been introduced to already in the intro. We're going to catch up on the National League Under-11s Cup, which the club hosted earlier this week. We're going to hear from Joe Kizzy as well as talk about something that's going on after the Eastleigh game tomorrow.
Okay, so I guess we start with Dorking in the FA Trophy, Matt. No, we need to start before that, really, don't we? Was it Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday, wasn't it? We got some bad news in that Chris Bush was retrospectively suspended for an incident that occurred during the second half of the match away to Chesterfield, which was obviously a bit of a shock to us. We knew that he
absolutely
was...
Crazy. So you get an email from the FA which says... I actually got a phone call on the Tuesday night saying that one of our players is going to be charged with violent conduct for the Chesterfield game. And you know, in that moment, you're flashing back and you're going, What? Did something happen in the tunnel? Did something happen? And so Wednesday morning comes, they open up the email and they provide a video clip. This is the incident that they view as violent conduct, etc. And you play the clip, Matt, and I had to watch it twice to actually look what they were pointing out. And was it 70th minute, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Both roughly. Players go up for a ball. For those of you who are at the game will remember us commentating at Chesterfield, it was a very aggressive game, that wasn't it? And Bush and who was it? Fondop?
Fondop, yeah.
They had a battle up all game. Do you know what I mean?
There was scraps all over the place. It's just carried on. Yeah,
you know, the scraps all over the place. It was, as a spectator, it was one of those good head-to-head battles that you almost want to see as a supporter. Both players got up for the header. They both landed. I think Kizzy, as he sort of kicked out of frustration. I mean, it's not even...
Bush, sorry.
Kicked out of frustration. No contact. I mean, it's slow as you like, Matt. I think
it's just trying to make an example of it. And you look at how it's occurred, and it turns out the assessor reported...
Not even the assessor, the observer.
The observer reported this incident. And where does it stop? Where does this line stop? This is retrospective VAR at the end of the day. Can a fan report something that they've seen and it be taken?
We've asked for clarification because does it work for the club? If we see something that the ref's not seen, and we just report it game in, game out? I mean... We all see stuff. We see plenty of stuff off a ball that gets missed or doesn't get picked up, etc. So it's submitted like an extraordinary incident report, which is usually used by observers and assessors to inform the FA of a flare or a smoke bomb or an incident that's happened in the crowd or anything like that. So it was really bizarre. And when you click on the video of it, and then it went, and because this has been deemed as violent conduct, the automatic suspension is 3 games. You're like, what? You know, and then... You're going back through the game and you're thinking of Gerrard's challenge on Luke Coulson.
Yeah.
I mean, how far challenge off the ball the did word. You need to be?
Yeah.
Got a yellow card. How on earth can I deem that as a yellow card?
Yeah.
And a flick out, which doesn't contact the player,
it's
as three
extremely
games.
Inconsistent, isn't it?
So we had until, was it Thursday morning to appeal it?
Yeah.
And appeal it we did. We provided witness statements from everyone and we also spent a lot of time, Ronan, James, Matt, everyone, fantastic effort putting together... tons of video evidence from the game itself, other incidents, everything that happened. But to no avail, Matt.
We've got the
old letter back. The independent committee have met. They've seen the incident. And along with 3 referees, they've all agreed that if they'd seen it during the game, they would have given it a red card.
Mm. And ironically, this is the game that he wouldn't have... Well, this is the game that we got the appeal for in terms of that he wouldn't be suspended
for. It's funny, isn't it? You get a red card turned around and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere...
It's flipped on its head.
Anyway, so that was a perfect setup for Dorky Matt, which was already a tough task given the players that we're missing already, and with all due respect, the opposition we were up against, a tough task it proved to be, Matt.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I mean, like you say, we were several bodies short before that. Dave Winfield, cup tied as well, had played in the FA Trophy for Chelmsford City earlier this season, so that was another less option at centre back. So we ended up playing with players out of position. Luke Coulson started the game at right back, as we know, as it's happened before this season. Kizzy started at centre back. And if you looked at the bench, Jeff, I think you would have just thought, well, if something goes wrong or if there's an injury, what are we going to do? Jack got that injury in the first half. And I genuinely think that if there was a replacement on the bench, he wouldn't have played on, because it looked quite bad to me.
It was a hefty blow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was down for a few minutes.
Obviously incredibly disappointed for all the fans that were there, Matt. Dorkin, to be fair, played incredibly well. And a shout out to the club itself, actually, mate, who made us all feel very welcome.
Yeah,
there.
They did, fantastic
little facility they've got there. But nothing worked for us, Matt.
No, it didn't. It just wasn't our day. I mean, we didn't have a shot on target until the 90th minute. And to be fair to us, and we said it on the commentary, for the first 20, 25 minutes, we actually looked very comfortable in possession. We moved the ball about very well. You could tell there was a gap between the two clubs. You could tell which was the part-time and which was the full-time team. However, after that, I think we just took our foot off the gas. And for whatever reason, we changed shape at half-time and it ended up working against us.
And that was the start of the second half, wasn't it? We caught the break for the second goal.
Yeah,
but
it was.
I must admit, that did change of shape. Did for a moment you thought, okay, that's actually going to keep maybe
for 5 minutes. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I know. Sorry, but I could see the logic behind
the idea. Definitely,
the time,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But like you say, for them to get a second goal, that was sort of the sucker punch, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had the ball on the edge of the Dorking box, and somebody gave it away. They started a very quick, slick attack. To be fair, and the shot from the edge of the box. Yeah,
I think I'll be disappointed.
I think he will be.
I'm not sure if you had a chance to speak to him. He's
had a look at it. I know that he asked to see it. So I think he's a bit disappointed with that one. And then the third goal, really not a lot he could have done about, in my opinion. The Jason Pryor's got through a couple of challenges, which were weak challenges, unfortunately, and just slotted it in. And it just wasn't our day. Our heaviest defeat of the season with a heavily depleted squad.
It's an awful cliche, and you know, that's it. You can concentrate on the league now, etc., and everything like that. But Neil Smith's clearly disappointed after the game. He clearly wanted to progress, and Matt, you had the enviable task of catching up with him after the game.
Disappointing afternoon, all in all.
Very. You know, I've just told them that that's unacceptable, and as much as we've been patted on the back for where we are in the division and what we've done this season, I can't have that, and I won't have that. And the players are in there and they know the situation. We are down in numbers. Obviously, the suspension that happened to Bushy late on in the week. Really disappointed. You know, the players were affected by it, obviously. We tried really hard to bring in a player before today's game, and it was always going to be difficult. But even still, you know, I'm playing. We looked like we had 12 players out there today in respect of, you know, on the bench as well. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. But we've got to regroup for a Monday. We will go through this game, get everything out of the way that we need to improve on, which is everything, and look forward to Eastleigh.
Seemed to start the game quite brightly, actually. Was it a case of just taking foot off the gas too soon?
Yeah, probably. I think when they got the goal again, it was I said it was exactly like last week. We just looked like we had no cutting edge when we went forward, and that's why I changed it at half time. They had the chance, you know. Jack Barham, we knew about, we'd explained that he likes to come across people, and he did what he did and scored the goal. And then coming at half time, I just thought I'd change it because of personnel, just get people on there, get the forwards further up the pitch. Then they go and hit us on the counter attack, and you know, that really kills the game off. And that's when I bring out Ollie Tanner on. I don't want Frankie Raymond to get another yellow, and you know, bring Jaden on. But that's not good enough. And I apologise to the supporters who have been brilliant, who have actually backed us and been so you know, behind us, that we've let them down today. And I apologise on their behalf.
Time to focus on the league now.
Yeah, 100%, which we've always wanted to do. We wanted to run in the cup. You know, we didn't lose the game last year and was out of it, you know, after the Sutton situation. But today, you know, maybe the FA Trophy isn't for us. But, you know, we'll come back stronger. We've got to come back stronger. I don't want that feeling again against a resurgent Eastleigh side, you know, doing well in the FA Cup as well. So we're going to have to put it right all next week.
Hoping to have some bodies back as well for that one.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll have a couple of bodies back. We've also been speaking to a couple of players, so maybe, you know, strengthening the squad a little bit and getting players in, because we are thin on numbers. But as I say, we'll make sure we get something sorted for next week.
On to the next one, Neil. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I rather underestimated Neil's disappointment at that result, Matt.
Yeah, he was absolutely gutted, and you know, he felt that. I think he got most of his frustrations, if that's the word for it, out in the dressing room after the game. But still, Neil expects high standards from his team, and he didn't get them on Saturday, so we move on.
It's been a bit obvious, I guess, to a few people now. We've really lacked pace or an outlet, or I guess a natural winger, really, with Rico being out, etc., and the injuries, etc., that we've had. But hopefully, Matt, they've made amends for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're delighted to welcome Andre Coker to the club, who is an ex.
Oh yeah, I guess people guess that from the fact that he introed the podcast.
Yeah, probably. So it's slightly not coordinated so well, that one. But it is Christmas, so forgiveness and that. He's a winger who's played for Crystal Palace from a young age right through till he was 20. Has then represented the likes of Cray Wanderers, Maidstone United, Dartford.
Oh yeah, so he played for Palace in that friendly a couple of years ago.
Yes. You could say that. It's moving swiftly on. He actually played against us after that for Maidstone
as well.
It is funny
though. He speaks really well for a young guy. It's one of the first things we spoke about when he came in the office, for those of you who know. Recall the incident we're talking about. But like you say, water under the bridge, a long time ago now. And great to have him on board, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really, really keen to be here. I mean, he was watching training, and now he's got the opportunity to train today. And you can just see the excitement, really. He's really, really delighted to get this opportunity. Neil rates him highly, and he's been watching him for a number of years since he was in the youth ranks at Palace. So
I should share it, but he was actually on the radar at that point when we played them the first time. We tried to get him in from Palace.
And due to the incident, it didn't happen in the end. But
funny how football comes around,
isn't it? It is weird. It is really weird. But yeah, he's certainly going to give us some pace. I spoke to Brian, obviously, who watches Cray games all the time, and he said how quick he was.
Brian Ollie, yeah, should.
And Cookie actually seen him play a few times as well. So,
well, me and my scouting operation.
Are you taking credit?
I don't want to say I am, but yes. No, he played for Cray, and I do security for Cray sometimes when I don't go to away matches. Fantastic. He's such a great player. You can, not being disrespectful to Cray, but you know that he's a player that can play above the league he's playing at. So,
and like you say, it's still going to be quite a step up for him, though.
It is. It's back to full-time football. And he said to me off the mic, if you like, that he's been missing.
Off the record.
That he's been missing. Can I speak? he's been missing full-time football because obviously the clubs that he represented, majority of those, apart from Maidstone, were at the time part-time, and he'd been in a full-time environment ever since he was quite young as a player. So he's looking forward to getting back into the full-time swing of things. And yeah, it's great to have him on board.
Absolutely brilliant. As you referred to, he speaks really well, Matt, and you had the pleasure of catching up with him earlier today.
Andre Coker, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel to be here?
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Still so surreal in the way it's happened. It was so quick, and there's such a quick turnaround. But I've just got my headset on, you know, helping the boys out. I know the aspirations of this club and where they want to be, and I'm honoured to be part of it.
And I know that Neil's been watching you for a while. You've obviously met with him and spent some time with him now. What are your impressions of Neil?
Yeah, I can't wait to get working with him. We've had long conversations about what he wants and his aspirations for the club and for me personally as well. And it's all positive. Is all stuff that I'm right on board, and we're on the same wavelength, so yeah.
And you've obviously been with Cray most recently, so you've been in these surroundings, and you just know how ambitious the club is, don't you?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, just from even just the work that they're doing around the ground and all the stands and stuff, all the development over the last couple of years, you could just see the direction. And obviously in being here, you could see the facilities and how it's expanding.
What's your career been like as a player? What clubs have you represented?
Okay, so yeah, I started my career at Crystal Palace, joined about under 12s, under 13s, and I was there all the way through to my second year pro, so about 20 years old. In my last year of the contract, I went on loan to Maidstone when they were in the Conference Prem as well. Had a good loan spell there and ended up signing for them. Things didn't work out and the new management came in, so I went on loan to Dartford. Started well. And then, yeah, I think they went for a new playing style, which didn't complement, obviously, me. So that didn't work out. Went back to Maidstone. There was the third management, so they'd come in and they wanted to change direction once again. So and then yeah, I was hit by that, and I was like, okay, cool, let's just take a step back, let's get myself going again. And the people down at Cray, they looked after me very well, and they come through, and I said, you know what, I don't mind, you know, having to go down another level just to get myself regular minutes and just playing again, because it was a really shaky season. And to be fair, it must have worked, because here I am back where I wanted to be.
And you've said, I know before, that the style of play that Cray implement suited your game a fair bit.
Yeah, definitely. Cray are all football, do want to play. They want to keep the ball and, you know, attack. And they play through the wide men as well, which I am. So, you know, it complements my playing style.
So you join us on the Friday. I know you've watched a training session yesterday, and you're going to get your first taste of training with the boys now. Straight into it, a match tomorrow against Eastleigh. Looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is right back where I want to be. I'm just bringing back old feelings again of, you know, the fans. There's a lot of way more fans than there is down at the Iceland Prem. But I can't wait to get going.
Well, we can't wait to see you, Andre. Welcome aboard. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Okay, next up, Matt, we're going to move on to the community, and probably the biggest community event this week has obviously been the National League Under-11 School Cup.
Yeah, lots going on in the community department, if you like. On Monday, we hosted the National League Trust Under-11s Cup.
Is that department in the same port cabin?
Yes, it okay, is. It's the department slightly to our left here. it was a real pleasure to host this for the second year in a row. It's a local tournament, this one, so it just involves schools from the Bromley Borough. We had 22 mixed teams entering, which are mainly boys teams, but there are a few really good girls in those teams. And then we had 8 girls only teams enter as well.
I know you're probably coming on to it, but just to recap, this tournament is the one which decides the schools that represent, yes, Bromley Football Club?
That's it, yeah. So the eventual winners, one from the girls' tournament, one from the mixed tournament, will represent Bromley Football Club in the follow-up tournaments. And last year
it was
Pickhurst.
That's a regional one.
Yes, so last year it was Pickhurst. They got through to Regional 1, which was held at Sutton, and then they got through to the South Finals.
Oh my gosh,
which were held at Eastleigh, and they won all of their games.
Anderson's travel helped us with the LVIP coach, but they had a proper first team experience.
And they won all of their games, didn't concede a goal, got to the final and lost 1-0 to a team they'd already beaten because of a defensive error.
And if they'd won that game, they would have played at Wembley.
Oh, yeah. And the team they lost to actually lost at Wembley at the playoff final. So that was so frustrating. But Here we are again, yeah. And we're actually hoping, touch wood, to host the follow-up tournament this year, as in the South East final.
Oh, that's a regional one.
Yes, so we should be hosting that. We're just waiting for confirmation on that from the National League Trust, which will be amazing. But congratulations to all of the teams who entered. It was a really, really good tournament. Massive thank you to Kim and Delith from the Bromley School Games and Ashley as well. Without them, this is not possible to run. They are a massive help to us, and we really appreciate it.
To give you an idea of the sense of sort of coming together, integration of everything, really, you've got all those local schools.
Yeah.
You've got the Bromley Schools Game organisers. Yeah. We've also got the academy.
Yeah, academy were massive help.
And staff.
Massive help. Thank you to Ammo and Sue for helping as well. We had several academy referees and runners who were really, really helpful. We had a work experience guy in who was incredibly helpful as well, Jamie. So thank you to him. It's not possible without all of these little cogs to run scary. Something like this. It was a bit manic, I must admit, but we got there in the end.
At least it wasn't today, because the weather's absolutely awful.
It was raining in the morning. I was really worried, actually, that it was going to carry on raining. But Neil came down for the last couple of hours, actually. We only asked him to come down for the presentation, but Neil actually took the time out.
after I saw sort of photos of the gaffer
to come down and watch, and he was really impressed. And it's nice to see so many familiar faces, both from the terraces, from soccer schools, and from other things like that. And yeah, Neil was on hand to catch up with me afterwards about what he thought. Neil, we've literally just finished the finals of the National League Under-11s Cup here at Bromley Football Club, and you were here to watch it. What did you think?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, the local schools all coming to Bromley Football Club and playing in a tournament, and you're seeing some, you know, boys and girls, really good players, and hopefully future Bromley players. But, you know, it's great for the club to be out in the community and getting out and letting the schools know that where we are to obviously become future supporters as well.
And when we've looked round, I was standing with you just a few minutes ago, we've seen so many familiar faces from soccer schools, from Bromley youth teams. It's incredible how far that element of the club has come, isn't it?
That's right, and some of the parents have come to watch us as well. So, you know, it is the club's growing, and we've got to make sure that we maintain that, but we put on a good service for the supporters, for the young guys, all the schools that can come to this facility and play in a fantastic tournament that's just happened.
And congratulations to our winners, Scotts Park School for the girls and Highfield for the boys. And we're hoping, or we're pretty much certain, we're going to be hosting the follow-up tournament here, so another one to look forward to.
Yeah, it's brilliant, you know, and as I say, the standard of play from the girls and the boys was fantastic and of a very good quality. There's some really good individual players out there as well, but it was about the enjoyment, you know, with your schoolmates and putting out there and enjoying yourself. But, you know, and then to get the next stage of the trophy as well, be a fantastic achievement again. I think it'd be the first time that we've managed to get it down here.
Well, Neil, thank you so much for coming, and we'll catch you again soon.
Brilliant, all the best.
Matt, great to hear from Neil there. Great to see the gaffer involved in the event on Monday, Matt. I know it sounds little things, but even the fact that these kids from the local schools recognise Neil Smith as the manager of Bromley Football Club,
it's
just another little marker of just how far we've come.
It is, yeah, and the fact that, as I said a few moments ago, you know, Neil recognised some of them as well from our youth teams and such like. It's massive, and it just shows how far the club has come, not only on a footballing front, but on a wider scale as well. And yeah, it's testament as well to the facilities that we've got that we're able to host this.
And talking about those facilities,
alongside other things.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. Talking about those facilities, obviously, we're not shutting down for the Christmas period, Matt. If anything, it's busier than usual.
It's all go, yeah. Certainly busy for me and the coaching team as well on the community front. We've got our Christmas soccer school, which is going ahead on 6 dates during the Christmas holidays. And it's the first one that we've done really as a club. So we'll be interested to see how it goes down. We're here 9 till 3 on a range of days as well. I don't know what.
Cookies in the office, he disagrees with that. Well, we did a Christmas one about 3-4 years ago.
Oh, okay. I said as a club, yeah. So not the company that used to do it for us. So yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Yeah,
that's why I said as a club.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for coming, Cook.
Are you working over there?
Hardly working or working hard. I've lost my flow now. Yeah, so we're here on a range of dates in the Christmas holidays. They're all online on our website. So if you've got a child age 4 to 12, check them out.
And Saturday morning soccer school returns in... it's our last... We're here this Saturday.
Yeah, here on the 21st and then back on the 4th of January. Term passes, which give you 2 free sessions, are available on the website now. So again, check that out. The numbers have been amazing. We've got some great coaches as well. And the sessions are always really fun. Feedback from parents is great. And of course, we give out tickets to the kids as well to encourage them to support their local team.
I really don't realise how fortunate we are with the facilities, you know, that parents don't have to worry about if it's going to be on or not when they wake up, and it could be a bit of rain or something like that. You
exactly.
know, it's happening week in, week out. I think probably the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I think we've possibly called it off once.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
Might have been lightning or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to First Team Affairs, Matt. Who else have we managed to catch up with this week?
Well, our new signing we managed to speak to.
Oh, apologies, we've done that earlier in the podcast.
Well, we're going to that together.
I thought we got with Joe Kizzy.
Oh, I thought we'd done that already. Oh, here we go. This is all falling to pieces.
So well
now.
Organized.
Oh, shut up, you.
Bring back Cookie.
Joe Kizzy is always great to catch up with. I think he is one of the most consistent players that has signed for us. This season, if you like, he's just really, really a solid player, consistent player. He doesn't often have a bad game, and he's made the step up from part-time football seamlessly. You wouldn't know that he was a part-time.
A bit of Ricky, wasn't it?
This is his first time in full-time football. He just looks so comfortable, and he's got a lot of potential to go further as well. So it's always a pleasure to catch up with him. He's very articulate, very good speaker, and here's what he had to say.
Joe's, we're approaching the December Christmas busy period now. Is it something you look forward to?
Yeah, definitely. I think we were probably at our best when it was the start of the season in August, and we had games kind of two games a week. So I think it will suit us. It's a great opportunity for us to go on another kind of good run of form, and all the boys are looking forward to it.
And it was a good result against Chesterfield, followed by a slightly disappointing one. Just looking to bounce back from that at the earliest opportunity, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, like you said, over this kind of coming few weeks, it's a perfect opportunity to put what kind of went wrong on Saturday right. So we'll look to go back to how we played at Chesterfield, kind of do the basics right, and you know, we've looked at what went wrong on Saturday, what we should have done better and what we could have done better, and you know, we've had a good week's training so far, and all the boys are looking forward to the coming weeks.
Eastleigh are the visitors on Saturday, a side which obviously we've played already this season. They come in good form. It's got the makings of a good match, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If it's anything to go by last fixture that we played against them away from home, they were a good side, you know, really organised. They set up well. Probably we could have been a little bit more clinical and kind of finished the game early on. They ended up scoring a kind of late equaliser, so we'll back ourselves at home, you know, back in front of our own crowd. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, since we last played here, so yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll bounce back.
It has been sort of all hands on deck, hasn't it? A lot of players filling in, including yourself, in other positions. We've been quite unlucky with injuries and suspensions and such like in recent weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, we've had a lot of games. The squad was a little bit thin, but you know, I think we're at a point now where we're getting people back in, whether it's for suspensions or injuries, and we're starting to get our full squad back. And you know, once we do, I can only see good things happening. You know, we'll go on a nice little run and look to kind of push on now in the league.
And for yourself, how are you feeling? Obviously settling in now, a few months in the club, recovered from a recent injury as well. How does it feel?
Yeah, good. I'm fine. You know, little niggles and stuff, you just kind of get through and play. Like I couldn't name loads of boys in the squad that have to play through little kind of injuries here and there. It's just part of non-league football. So I'm loving life here. You know, really enjoyed it since I've come. Been welcomed well by obviously management, staff, players, and of course the supporters. So looking forward to the second half of the season and hopefully kicking on and achieving good things.
Well, Joe, best luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Joe, because he's always there, Matt. Obviously up next, Eastleigh at home.
Yeah, a team which I think has been described as a bogey team for us for many years now. I can't actually remember the last time.
Describe something else, but
I can't remember the last time we beat them. We were close to beating them in the reverse fixture this season. We were 1-0 up until the 85th, 86th minute. And ended up drawing 1-1. They scored a late equaliser, which was very, very frustrating. They're in a bit of good form at the minute. They're currently 13th in the table, though, on 33 points, though. That's really... you can't read too much into that because it's extremely tight.
Did you see on that football web pages, they've got like one of those predicts league table finishes.
Yeah, you
it's
mentioned.
Got them finishing,
yeah,
in the playoffs.
Blimey,
it's got us finishing third, to be fair.
Wow. Yeah, so they progressed in the FA Trophy last week. They beat Yates Town 6-1. That was preceded by a 3-1 defeat to Crewe Alexandra in an FA Cup replay. They drew 1-1 with Ebbsfleet and lost 2-0 at home to Wrexham. Prior to that, they were in slightly good form, is what I was trying to say. Their past few games, apart from Yates, hasn't been great. Although they did get a cup replay against Crewe, obviously, which is quite an impressive result. So, yeah, Scott Rendell is the top scorer at the moment with 10 goals. And a funny stat about him is that he didn't actually score in his first 17 games this season and has got 10 since then. So he's certainly in good form.
Blimey. I'm reading Josh's... shout out to Josh, our UCFB student, who's... what's his handle on Twitter?
Josh, I'll have to get it up.
Anyway, Josh on Twitter's put a lovely preview up on the website for those who haven't seen it. I didn't realise how many former players have played for the clubs and stuff. Obviously, Eastleigh have got the goalkeeper, isn't it? Ross Flitney. And then obviously on our side, we've got Sam Wood, Luke Coulson.
Ryan Huddart.
Raymond was there, was he?
Raymond, yeah. Ben Williamson.
On a loan spell back in 2011.
It's Josh 98 Tyndall.
A big thank you to Josh for doing the preview on the website. I hope you readers have been enjoying them. The day itself, Matt, we're actually, you've got Saturday morning soccer school from 9 a.m. Ravens Bar is open from midday. Three pints when everybody turns up for 1 o'clock. And it's Everton-Arsenal. That's going to be an interesting game.
It will be an interesting game, yeah.
So that's a great game. And then we've obviously got the main event, Bromley versus Eastleigh, 3 o'clock. And then it's Christmas party time.
Woo!
DJ and karaoke in a bar afterwards, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, the karaoke.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, that means Cookie's going to be on it.
So that'd be fantastic.
Be on it.
And to be fair, Matt, Saturday really sort of kicks off a hectic festive period, really, of fixtures.
Yes, it does indeed. Obviously, following this weekend's game, we've got Dover away on Boxing Day, followed by 28th Dagenham and Redbridge at home, and then on New Year's Day, Dover Athletic at home. We're then away to Notts County on the 4th of January, which is going to be a tough game for sure. So, yeah, plenty of games coming up, but I know all the boys are looking forward to it.
And add to that, Matt, we've actually got the Kent City Cup on the 7th as well.
We do. Magic of the Cup, as they say.
What is it? Is it second round? Third? What is it? I don't know what round it is. And that's against Gillingham. We're doing a football for a fiver, aren't we? £5 for adults, £1 for kids. Tickets for that one aren't actually going to be sold on. Aren't actually going to be sold online, sorry. No. They're just going to be available from the turnstiles on the day. But all those other games that Matt mentioned there, Dagenham and Dover, ticket links are up on the official website now, so make sure you get your tickets in advance. I think that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's been a good week. Good podcast.
What are we doing, Cookie? Are we doing a Christmas special on 23rd? Because we're on the Monday, aren't we? We're setting up ready for the following week's game. Okay, so we're going to be back on Monday. Is that the plan?
Oh, wait, that's
Christmas special.
Well, okay.
Well, you got a day off again?
No, I'm actually working quite a lot of hours over Christmas. So I'll have you know.
So we're back next Monday for a Christmas special. In the meantime, a massive thank you to everyone who's tuned in, listened, downloaded. As always, please don't forget to rate us on all the podcast apps and stuff. I don't know why that makes a difference, Matt, but apparently it means something.
Like, subscribe, comment.
We'll see you all tomorrow, and hopefully we can enjoy a drink or two with everyone after the game tomorrow in the Ravens Bar.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for coming, Cookie. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for